Hi, this is Kaput Radio. My name is Martin. I welcome you to the show. Today, there is no theme, although I'm working with my friend Graham on explaining what is wrong with the method of creating money, which was basically asked all over the last show. And it's underway, so be patient, those people who are interested in the monetary, financial, economic, and reality matrix of that kind. But today, there's some local news. It's all political, so don't fret. And it's mostly kept lighthearted. So stay tuned and enjoy.
Hundreds and hundreds of lives by setting up that system. It was tough, but it was humane.
The only way to stop the boats is to change the government.
Looks like a Stalinist operation, really, where everyone gets up and hails the party leader.
Australians can be 100% certain that I am telling the truth.
Welcome to the Drone Flying Control Center. This is Kaput Industries. We are superior drone pilots than our US counterparts because we don't kill civilians. This is Kaput Radio, which makes Clive Palmer say,
"Australians don't want this."
But I've never actually talked to him.
And David Cameron,
"This has sent out some incredibly damaging signals."
And Mr. Murdoch,
"It's going to be a blot on my reputation for the rest of my life."
Hi friends, while I heard about the second richest Australian coal and mining plus media man Clive Palmer constructing a replica of the Titanic named Titanic 2, built in China, I began making plans for an iceberg construction. But first, a local exchange explaining the richest person in Australia, Gina Rinehart's latest notoriety gigs in public. She was called an ugly baby elephant once by Daddy. So while she slides her considerable mass of fat jelly and money into TV and news media demanding, control, I suppose, I ran into Andy. Any news here on the horizon?
Hang on, man, I'll get up on the chair, I'll have a look, I'll check the horizon.
Yeah, what do you think about this one? Headless Chook finds head.
I can see it.
Headless Chook doesn't cross road but finds head.
Oh, yeah, how about that guy they found in Queensland with no head? His name's Ned Kelly. Did you hear that?
I heard that they found... I thought it was Tony Abbott.
Headless Chook with his head cut off.
Finds a head.
Okay. He's got no head, the chicken.
What about the double flower chopper? You seen him?
No, tell me about
He's acting really well with the axe, man.
Yeah?
All that flower with his victims, man.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, he chopped all the flowers, man.
What's your head?
Daisies and tulips, and that's what he does.
Don't know.
Okay. That's sensationalism, man. That's what Gina Rinehart should put on her channels on Channel 10 and also in the Fairfax media. We want to only see those sort of kind of popular stories to make absolutely zero sense.
Yeah. Gina Rinehart, she wants you to work for her. She wants you.
You know what it takes to work with her. You've got to be aware about the humongous amounts of cupcakes and cream coming your way,
mate,
passing your office, mate.
I reckon we should get a group of blokes. We'll get a couple of picks and shovels.
Give her a hairdress.
No, we'll go to Western Australia, man. We'll start digging holes. We'll go in competition with her.
I thought she should open her hair salon.
No.
She's got a famous hairdresser.
Gina.
Yeah, Gina's hairdo.
On the other hand, she's a beautiful woman. I would marry her.
You can't beat cream cakes, man.
I would eat cream cakes off her naked butt.
Do you know what preventative advertising is? I tell you, this is an example.
Silicon implants with risk of rupture.
Silicon implants, especially for lonely women.
Although it is not top of my list, I like to share the next two segments with everyone interested in the war on drugs Australia.
Spliff Masters!
Yeah! And now, Michael from the Hemp Embassy. I'm here at the Hemp Embassy and I'm sitting here next to Michael Borlasson, who's central on the information on marijuana prohibition, anti-prohibition campaigns for years from this town. And Michael might want to fill us in on some news which involves actually a political dimension since ages again.
from this email I got this morning, Michael, you wrote.
Yeah, so the Australia 21, yeah, the Australia 21 report, which came out in early April, was from a, it was an independent body, but you know, big professional people, ex-politicians, even two of Howard's health ministers, an ex-big federal cop, mixed bag of people who came out strongly recommending we review the drug laws, how, and particularly how it's criminalising and ruining the lives of our children, and the long-term consequences and how bad they are, blah, blah, you know how they go on. It was a pretty strong report. Julia Gillard, the Prime Minister and the Health Minister, got rid of it in 10 minutes. That midday that day on the news, a whack, you know?
Yeah.
Now, this is a new move by three politicians, Rob Oakeshott, independent, or Federals, a Liberal guy, it's Dr. Mal Washer, and the Greens, Dr. Richard Di Natale. So there's these two doctors, and they it's another chess move, you know. They're going to get an independent, another body to have a look at this. It's good. It's got it on the agenda.
And this is also parallel. There was a Sydney Morning Herald convention, wasn't there? There was a video
that
I
followed
watched.
The Australia 21 report.
There
and,
many
and
good
the Herald,
speakers on there.
Yeah, the Herald ran it strongly for a month, for 2 weeks, I think, and there was a big WikiCurve thing. And
I grabbed David Marr's.
David Marr was very strong on it, you know. But, you know, it seems the politicians are terrified to put it on the agenda.
Oh,
they don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
There'd be lots of lobbying from the pharmaceutical industry, the alcohol industry, all sorts of industries.
All this service industry, this prisons made, all this incarceration business, and the associated tentacles of care and psychiatrists psychologists and bloody social
and we can't
workers.
Have people getting stoned
it's
and not getting
endless
shit.
Chain, isn't it? An endless chain of employment. We are raising $32 billion every year almost in the last 4 years to do the Prohibition War. Isn't that great?
It's
$32 billion expenditure.
It's crazy stuff.
Yeah, that's what people live off, you know. You've got to consider that. That's the reality.
So the pot turnover in Australia is about $10 billion a year?
Yeah, it's insignificant, we know.
And on July the 1st, I think, seven new states in America will have legal medical cannabis. So, you know, then it's well over half of America now. As many they're seeing the consequences. One of which is a drop in alcohol and car accidents. Interesting.
This is interesting. Indeed.
I do know when the Obama sort of debate was happening on the big health issue, that the pharmaceutical industry had two lobbyists for every senator, and that's what we're up against. You know, so. If there's three politicians putting it, you know, on the agenda, it means it's starting to get into the mainstream, I reckon.
Well, it's also a generational shift that's happening. The 21st century people don't take them.
And they're terrified of us, mate. The hemp party, we're nobody until the election come round. Then we're a couple of percent of the vote. And, you know, it's the only time they're ever nice to us and we're registered for the next election. Yeah. Remember they failed us by 2 days? I thought it was very sus. Anyway,
right,
the move by the government is it
it's
means it's a bit
it?
On the agenda and it's good.
Okay, well, keep that flame going and keep us up on the...
There's no doubt about that here in Nimbin. The cops have given up on it. Yeah. We've overtaken them, overgrown the government here well and truly.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much, Michael, for today. Michael Borison from the Hemp Embassy. You can visit their website.
Hempembassy.net.
Just hempembassy.net, nothing in front, nothing behind.
You can put 3 W's.
Very
if you
simple.
Want it.
Yeah, you can put 3 W's. All the computer does it for you. Thanks very much, guys.
We used to hang out all day and all night. And that's our job.
You know, we gotta take it off.
Driving me berserk.
So I ask you, where's your head now? Where's your head now?
Driving me berserk.
Where's your head now? Where's your head now? No stopping, no stopping. You know we gotta take it off. So where's your head now?
All right, these are some other musical expressions, I suppose.
But now let's hear what Tony Bauer is telling. Ready to shoot, Tony?
Yeah, no worries.
Tony, you were on the hemp legalization anti-prohibition campaign for a long time. Can you give us a little bit of background, what your aspects are and what you're involved in?
Medical cannabis. I own it. Mulloway's Medical Cannabis. I've basically been trying to help people that are sick and that, you know, with the help of the Hemp Embassy, and try and get a legal medicine out there to people that's cheap, you know. It's yeah, basically that's been doing it for a long time.
Is there still a debate about it, or it's been already applied, I heard? Already in practice in some countries.
It is in a lot of countries now, and you know, they're ticking over like a clock, the countries that are coming on board, and we seem to be the last of them. And you know, if we don't pick up our act, then we'll be importing these drugs into the country from other countries that are doing it. Well, we're doing it now. We've been doing it for 30 years.
Doing almost every aspect of the economy.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything. Tony, you're specifically here on the local scene, long time involved, I heard. I'll just take a rumour what I heard, you know, so maybe I'm wrong, but you stood up for the medical cannabis campaign so way back. Now, I mean, I've heard you been
for quite
on this
a while,
for,
about many 10, years, 12 well. Years now,
Is there, and my question is sort of from the health side, is there sort of enough documentation that it shows that these saliva sprays and what all they applied on cannabis level in medicine, of the medicinal cannabis scene, are there sort of records now that it actually helps, that it is effective, that it has a meaning, in other words, and can effectively be on the table for the doctors?
Oh, for sure. More than enough. There has been for a long, long time. You know, more than enough. For the trouble is, the Doctors Association, AMA here, they won't stand up for the sick people in Australia. They're basically funded by the drug companies. You know, the government, all the police, all these things are basically getting funded by the drug companies, you know. As you know, these dogs that run around the street, you know, we haven't got the money to pay for them. The community doesn't want them.
They are lobbied interests, I understand.
They're paid for by them drug companies.
So one is up against the whole plethora of established pharmaceutical companies to start with, like when prohibition time started. It was obvious then that DuPont and other corporations had a vital interest to repress and oppress the use of marijuana, didn't they?
They still have.
Vitally interested for prohibition to maintain and to keep it going.
And now they have a lot more money to be able to throw towards it.
It's all inflated.
Well,
that's very interesting, Tony. What is the future holding? What is coming up apart from your personal involvement with medicinal? But if you have any news on that front, please speak up.
Well, there's a lot happening in the federal department. My local member down there, Rob Oakeshott, he's taken up the cause now to, you know, take it out of the government hands and that, have a real look at it. They already know that it's not affordable, this system. Not only are we putting people in jail for no reason, it's just costing the community a lot of money for no reason. And it's splitting families up. It's doing everything. And our court system tied up through stupidity, you know. I think if it's taken out of the government hands altogether, it'd be a real good thing. It, you know, because as we know, you know, when I was a kid, my mother said to me, "You should vote because you get to pick the pick of the bunch." Now we don't. Now we get to pick out of this bag of rotten fruit. You know, there's nothing there for
it's
us.
It's not very
you know?
Healthy in democratic terms.
No, it's not.
Because people, I mean, they don't want to engage with. I don't kind of want to say it on this program. They don't want to engage with this level, you know.
No, that's right.
Mudslinging and all this crap.
But reality, they're just not the
but
people.
But it's unfortunate
that are in there
the politics work that way.
You know? Well, the Greens are standing up too in New South Wales. You know, John Kaye's introduced in a discussion paper soon, that'll be.
Even Bob Carr spoke out recently about to do something about the incarceration
Bob Carr's
side.
Bob Carr's done more than anybody else. As a politician goes, he's really somebody that stood up to have a go on the, you know, on the on the illegal drugs, what they call the illegal drugs. Yeah.
Because it's so easy to be personally attacked on this level.
That's right, And the thing is, too, that people got to realise that while the government calls it a drug, it's listed as a herb.
Yeah.
On the thing, so how it gets to be a drug, it has to be manufactured, my understanding, before it actually can be even listed as a drug. So how it's in this rating as an illegal drug.
Well, that's obviously part of the propaganda.
Well, that's it, again.
To invent the euphemisms and invent the language for it, We're familiar from other areas of repression on that one.
Yeah.
Tony, do you want to wrap it up for the listeners? What can we look forward to, or what should we not look forward to? Maybe either or both?
Oh, no, I think the next 6 months is going to be good. Uh-huh. I've got a court case going on at the moment, the 9th of next month. We're going to know a lot more by then, you know, because I can see by what I've got now and the brief that I've got now, you know, we are allowed to have this drug, and it's going to be proven in court, you know. It's they want to push the issue here, then we're going to find out, and everybody's going to find out that they are allowed to have it. It isn't against the law at all. It never has been.
Yeah.
And we'll show them in court once and for all. But,
so that is the next step to get some resolution.
A ruling in court, Take it out of the politician's hands before this gets to where other people...
I understand that.
Make the law go down the way it's supposed to go down, and then the politicians don't have a say then. They just got to do their job, you know. And that's what we'll make them do their bloody job, you know.
Okay, thanks very much, Tony, for today.
No worries.
Might consult you again when news surface again.
Oh, no worries,
thanks a lot. Yeah.
It's against the law, but the coppers all know up in the roaring hills of Nimbus. Well, they grow that weed with a certain finesse, and the weed they grow will stand any test, cause the strains go back.
In today's classifieds, New Age for sale, all features working, almost as new, $99 only.
But wait, there's more. Absolutely free. That's right, buy one, get one free. But there's only one way to do it, so call now. So call now.
It's good for the American people.
Or we're pulling stumps on unicycles, juggling balls with spinny hats.
The government's established
a...
As you may noticed or have not noticed, the euro is burning while at the same time the European Soccer Championship is held in the Ukraine and Poland. The German team was initially quite successful and engendered certain undercurrents of envy and hate towards us. But then it became loaded with national current sentiment when Greece had to play against Germany. It was loaded before the game. In short, the Germans comprehensively wiped Greece off the soccer map and became even more envied. It made me laugh and reminded me of this Monty Python classic from 1972, The Philosopher's Football Match.
Good afternoon and welcome to a packed Olympic Stadium München for the second leg of this exciting final. And here come the Germans now, led by their skipper, Nobby Hagel. They must surely start favourites this afternoon. They've certainly attracted the most attention from the press with their team problems. And let's now see their lineup. The Germans playing 4-2-4, Leibniz in goal, back four, Kant, Hegel, Schopenhauer and Schelling, front runners Schlegel, Wittgenstein, Nietzsche and Heidegger, and the midfield duo of Beckenbauer and Jaspers. Beckenbauer obviously a bit of a surprise there. And here come the Greeks, led out by their veteran centre-half, Heraclitus. Let's look at their team. As you'd expect, it's a much more defensive lineup. Plato's in goal, Socrates a front-runner there, and Aristotle as sweeper. Aristotle very much the man in form. One surprise is the inclusion of Archimedes. Well, here comes the referee, Kung Fu Tzu Confucius, and his two linesmen, St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas. And as the two skippers come together to shake hands, we're ready for the start of this very exciting final. The referee, Mr. Confucius, checks his sand, and they're off! Nietzsche and Hegel there. Carl Jaspers, number 7 on the outside. Wittgenstein there with him.
Staying with Europe a little bit more, but from an Australian satirical viewpoint, are Clark and Dorr explaining
Stay tuned.
Good evening and thanks for your time tonight.
It's my great pleasure to be with you. Good evening.
You're an economist.
Well, I think I'm entitled to the presumption of innocence. Let's see how we go here.
I'd just like to ask you about Europe.
Macro questions.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have a swing at something outside off stump. I just don't want to get into trouble.
Sure. The G20 summit in Mexico this week was mainly about Europe, wasn't it?
It was, yes. The world leaders are obviously very concerned about what they see happening in Europe.
And some of the other world leaders were giving Europe a little bit of free advice.
They were, yes. They're very, very worried, I think. Yeah.
Which the Europeans didn't like very much.
No, the head of the EU was reasonably robust, wasn't he?
Yes, why was that? I mean, Europe is obviously in serious trouble. Why would they be resisting help from someone who's trying to help?
Well, I think if you owe hundreds of billions of dollars, you might take the view that getting a lecture from someone who owes $3 trillion is perhaps of limited value.
But isn't the concern that the politics and the economics of what's happening in Europe are now so intermeshed that they need to have acted faster than they have?
That Europe needed to have acted more quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the US and Canada did, obviously, in order to avert the GFC.
Well, they didn't, did they?
Correct. I think that's the European view.
Okay, let's talk about the Greek economy, because it's a test of how these problems will play out, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is. I think that's right.
Because we've got Spain, Portugal, Italy, they've all got the same problems.
Yes, I think that's right.
So what is going to happen to the Greek economy?
Well, let's imagine that Greece has an economy. And
Pardon?
You want to talk about the Greek economy?
Well, yes.
Yeah, well, let's imagine there is one.
Isn't the Greek economy the principal problem at the moment?
Well, yes, it is. And as you correctly point out, it's a fair example of what we might expect to see in Portugal, Spain, Italy and
other. But haven't they got economies?
Well, let's imagine that their economies are a hell of a lot bigger than the one we're imagining in the case of Greece.
Sorry, excuse me. Why do we have to imagine that they have economies?
Well, we're going to discuss something. We better pretend it exists.
Well, what is Europe going to do about this?
Well, Europe's pretending these economies exist.
Well, there's a European economy.
There is a European economy, of course. That's who these other countries owe all the money to.
And so these will all have to be managed at a Eurozone.
They will. I mean, the countries can't manage them.
Why not?
They haven't got economies.
Well, what have they got?
Well, they've got flags. A lot of them have got stamps.
Colourful customs.
Yeah, tourist information bureaus. Yeah. But they just don't have economies.
The countries without economies have to be managed as what? Branch offices of the Eurozone?
That's right. I mean, that is the essential political problem that we're going to see play out here.
Well, will it work?
Well, let's imagine that it will.
Well, what happens if it doesn't?
Have you read your history?
I'm afraid I have.
Let's imagine that it'll work. I hope it'll work.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
perhaps if all the children join hands.
Kumbaya, my love. Kumbaya.
And now it's the Greeks, Epicurus, Plotinus number 6. Aristotle, Empedocles, Evacragus, and Democritus with him. There's Archimedes. Socrates, there he is, Socrates. Socrates there, going through. There's the ball. And Nietzsche there, Nietzsche, number 10 in this German side. Kant moving up on the outside. Schlegel's on the left. The Germans moving very well in these opening moments.
Well, right now we're going back to the Olympic Stadium for the closing minutes of the philosophy final, and I understand that there's still no score.
Well, there may be no score, but there's certainly no lack of excitement here. As you can see, Nietzsche has just been booked for arguing with the referee. He accused Confucius of having no free will, and Confucius, he say, name go in book. And this is Nietzsche's third booking in four games. And who's that? It's Karl Marx. Karl Marx is warming up. It looks as though there's going to be a substitution on the German side. Obviously, manager Martin Luther has decided on all-out attack, as indeed he must, with only 2 minutes of the match to go. But the big question is, who is he going to replace? Who's going to come off? It could be Jaspers, Hegel, or Schopenhauer. But it's Wittgenstein, who saw his auntie only last week. And here's Marx. Let's see if he can put some life into this German attack. Evidently not. What a shame. Well now, with just over a minute left, the replay on Tuesday looks absolutely vital. And there's Archimedes, and I think he's had an idea.
Eureka!
Archimedes out to Socrates. Socrates back to Archimedes. Archimedes out to Heraclitus. He beats Hegel. Heraclitus, a little flick. Here he comes on the far post. Socrates is there. Socrates headed in. Socrates has scored. The Greeks are going mad. The Greeks are going mad. Socrates scores. The beautiful cross from Archimedes. The Germans are disputing it. Hegel is arguing that the reality is merely an a priori adjunct of non-naturalistic ethics. Kant, by the categorical imperative, is holding that ontologically exists only in the imagination. And Marx is claiming it was offside. But Confucius has answered them with a final whistle. It's all over. Germany, having trounced England's famous midfield trio, Bentham, Locke and Hobbs in the semi-final, have been beaten by the odd goal. And let's see it again. There it is.
Socrates, Socrates heads in and Leibniz doesn't have a chance. And just look at those delighted Greeks. There they are, Chopper Sophocles, Empedocles of Acragas. What a game he had. And Epicurus is there, and Socrates, the captain, who scored what was probably the most important goal of his career.
Hello there. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Brian. Good evening, or good morning, probably, really.
Yeah, we'll be. Yeah. You're in Wimbledon.
Wimbledon, yes, says Rich, is fantastic. This is very exciting.
How's the weather there?
The weather's great. The weather's actually been brilliant all week.
It's a great tradition, isn't it?
Well, there's been weather here for quite a while, no question about that, Brian. In fact, the old hands tell me there's been weather here for as long as anyone can remember.
No. I mean the tennis is a great tradition.
The tennis? Well, yes, weather permitting, Brian. The tennis is always very interesting, yes.
The Australian men haven't done very well, have they?
Oh, well, they've gone perhaps not well, but at least they went quickly, Brian. A bit of noise from Bernard, but a PB, I think, overall.
What about the women? Who's going to do well over there this year, do you think?
Well, Merkel is the one they're saying will do well here this year.
She looks good, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's got all the shots. She's an absolute cracker, this one.
I watched her in the first round against, I think it was someone from Greece.
Oh, the Greeks. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, between 61 and 62 billion.
6162. I think you might have misread that, Brian. I think it was 6162.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But she's got all the shots and she's very determined.
Very determined. She's a very tough customer, I think.
Yeah, she can be.
Yeah, she's playing in the doubles as well, of course. I watched it this morning against the Spaniards.
Wasn't that delayed because of
Delayed because the Spanish turned up without any gear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did Merkel do?
Merkel lent them some gear and gave them half a set up and still beat them, Brian.
Oh, my God. She is special.
She is. I've never seen court
coverage. Who was she playing with at that time?
Nobody, Brian. There's just her up the other end. But boy, can she move. Boy, can she move.
What about the Italians?
The Italians will go better, I think, now.
Why is that?
Well, they've borrowed the gear that the Spanish borrowed from Merkel, so they're a bit more confident.
And how will they go, do you think?
Well, they should go OK. They've negotiated that Merkel will give them nearly two sets up and will serve underarm.
Right, and the Portuguese were expected to win that anyway.
She'll still thrash them, I might say. The Portuguese,
yeah.
Brian?
Yeah.
Well, interestingly, the Portuguese have just beaten the Irish.
Yeah, well, I could have beaten the Irish.
Not in the tennis, Brian, not in the tennis.
Oh, okay.
No.
So they're in the second round?
No, they're not, Brian. Oh. They've beaten the Irish to get to the gear that the Italians have finished using that the Spanish had borrowed from Merkel.
Well, she'll win that as well, won't she?
She'll win that going away.
But isn't there a question that the Portuguese will turn up?
That's right, Brian. Merkel will need to give them a lift, but she'll still thrash them.
Yeah, sounds like it might be the year for the Germans.
Well, that's what they're saying here. The Germans are all over this, Brian.
Well, best of luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sorry? Just a minute, Brian. I'll have to go. The owner wants to use the studio.
Oh, really? Who's the owner?
Merkel.
Fair enough.
I won't be a minute.
So, this was Caput Radio for today with a light edition. For further notice, until the heavy stuff becomes ready next time. In this show, you heard from the local hemp MSC Michael Balderstone, Tony Bauer. Then we heard Australian politicians, CEOs and media bumbling nonsense. Then we had the satirists Clark and Dore. Also, a timeless piece from 1972 with Monty Python, The Philosopher's Football Match. Music was by Future Historic and other instrumental artists, and you can find all the web details stated on the program page of Caput X Radio at radioforall.net. That is a radio number 4 all.net. Google that and find Caput X Radio. There are also many other Caput X Radio programs available once you go to the producer page. I hope you had some fun, and I will hopefully have the next program on money, debt, finance, etc. ready very soon. So for today, I say keep your wits sharp, avoid buying crap, and catch me again. Bye-bye.